It's good to hear you all. There's something very precious about sitting on the front row, because you get this volume of praise coming. I know we get it, you know, wherever you sit, but it's just lovely to just hear that volume of praise and worship unto the Lord as you're just sitting there. So I've actually enjoyed you all singing tonight, so the Lord bless you. I wanted to pick up on where David was speaking this morning. I just want to carry on in the same theme about the marathon and about the cycle ride, etc., and the different thoughts that we can get from that. And some of the ladies weren't here last week when after they'd had the cycle ride, but I just wanted to say again to those that you weren't how proud I really felt when Mary texted me in the morning and said that you'd all made it, and I felt so proud of you all, and it was just, you know, it was really great just to congratulate you, because I know the effort that everybody put into it and the help and encouragement that you were to one another. So I say it again tonight, it was a real blessing to us all. So just carrying on again, David gave the illustrations more on the bicycle, etc. this morning, but I want to combine both thoughts about a marathon and the cycle ride. Having never done either, I'm not exactly the expert on these things, but you can observe a lot, can't you? And I have actually not spent a lot of time watching the London Marathon, but I did see it many years ago, and I've seen it a few times just on the television. And sometimes, you know, in everything actually, there's the first that which is natural, and then that which is spiritual, and the lessons that we can actually learn from these things. And we know that the Lord himself and Paul and others have used examples from nature, examples from everyday life to explain these spiritual truths. So I just want to bring some thoughts concerning it. But there was a time, I think I've sat down, perhaps, you know, when the London Marathon has been on, maybe once or twice just to watch, not so much all of it, because it's a long old thing, but the ending of it. And I can remember just sitting down and watching the end, and they have a camera at the end of the race, don't they, the finishing line. And you see all of these people coming towards the finishing line, and it's amazing what you actually see at the finishing line. And this particular time I was watching it was sort of lunchtime-ish and just after. And I don't know how many people, maybe there was over 30,000 plus, I don't know how many there are in all the different marathons, but there's an awful lot of people. Fortunately, there weren't that many in the bike ride the ladies did. Otherwise, the streets of London would have been congested for I don't know how long. But it's amazing. You've got this mass of runners or mass of cyclists, etc., competing all for various reasons. And it's amazing. When you watch, especially during a marathon or a race, and you see at the end, it's all ages, it's all shapes, it's all backgrounds, and it's all forms of fitness, actually, when you watch them taking place. And I have to admit, there was one time, this particular time, I just felt quite emotional, actually, watching these different people when they finished the race. And they actually got to the finishing line. And the expressions on their faces, their body language, and everything else like that. The spiritual applications came to mind. There's only one verse. You needn't turn to it, but this is the verse. David quoted from Corinthians and Timothy this morning about the race, and that Paul the Apostle had finished his race. But this is what it says in Hebrews. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Or let us cycle with endurance the race that is set before us. And it was that particular verse that just came to my mind. And I know at the time of the marathon, I don't know whether they do this at all marathons, but I believe they have done at some, that there's even a mini marathon for youngsters where they have certain ones of certain ages that run it, and you can see the kids, you know, putting in all their effort and everything else. And who knows what runners they're going to be in the future? Who knows, many of them will go on to run the 26 miles or kilometres or whatever it is. But the interesting thing about the adult marathon and the other races like that, at the end, the camera sometimes pans around, you know, and looks at it, and you've got all the family and all the friends and all the supporters and all the encouragers. They're waiting to see their loved ones finish, aren't they? They're looking out in all that mass of humanity that's coming. They're looking out for a particular face or a particular, you know, even if they can't see the face, particular body language or some sort of movement that they recognise that that's their one, that they've actually come to support. And you see them cheering, you see them clapping, you see them getting tremendously emotional, actually. And I thought of that, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I don't know, I don't think they do see what's going on earth, the ones that have gone on before us, because in actual fact there'd be no joy in that, would there, if they were looking and seeing what was going on in the earth. But I maybe the Lord tells them how we're getting on without having to see us. But the angels, I think when they see the Christians and the things that we happen to us and the victories that we win, and especially when there's rejoicing, when we actually finish our race, a tremendous joy must have been taking place in heaven when the Apostle Paul got there, and many others besides that. So we are encompassed around with so great a cloud of witnesses. But coming back to the marathon and the runners, and I just want to I want you to picture in your imagination some of the runners that come in. And as I watched, I noticed different things. Some runners that come in, or cyclists, I have to bring the cyclists into that, they come in completely and utterly exhausted. Their faces are strained and there's pain, actually, written all over them, isn't there? But mixed with that exhaustion and pain and strain, there's a complete look of relief that it's actually finished. It's been hard, and they may have felt like giving up many times during the race, but they'd done it. And it'd been a hard, hard, exhausting run or cycle, whatever it was. But they did it. They'd won. And then you get some others that come in, and they just look completely exuberant. You wouldn't think they'd run 26 plus miles or cycled, and that they are smiling, their hands are raised like that, and they're just absolutely so thrilled to have done it. And yet there's others that just about able to raise their hands, but there's no smile there at all because they're so exhausted. But nevertheless, they've said, I've done it. And you've got the raising of the hands like that. Then you have some others coming in, and they're waving to the crowd. They're waving and looking for friends, but they're waving to the crowd as if to say, I've done it, I've done it, I've done it. And there's that excitement. It's next time you see a marathon, watch the different faces, etc. And then you've got the others that come running in, and how these do it, I do not know, but they run in with such vigour that you feel as if they could go round again. They look like a Caleb and a Moses, whose eyes are not dim, and who say that, give me this mountain, I can do it again. There's just that something about them, and they finish. And I'm spiritualizing, I don't have to mention or say anything about this. You can apply the spiritual lessons as we're going through these. Then you get some coming in, they're hardly running at all. They're sort of just about getting there, but they are absolutely determined to make it. It's incredible, actually, the determination that some people have to do this. And they're absolutely, even if it kills them, and unfortunately at times it has done, hasn't it? But they have that such a determination that even if it kills me, I'm going to do it. There's that determination. They are going to run that race, and they're going to finish it, whatever the cost. And then, as you watch the crowd as well, you get just some individuals, just ordinary people running in ordinary sort of running clothes or whatever they've got. They don't stand out in any way whatsoever from the vast crowd. They're just normal Joe Brown, but then he makes clothes, so I probably might not say. But just a normal person. But they completed their race and they completed their goal. Not special in any way. And then you get some others who are very individualistic. And how they do it, I don't know. And what they dress up in. They dress up as chickens and gorillas, and I've even saw one with a thing looking like a rhinoceros, and there was one Scooby-Doo at one time. And how they run it and do it in the heat, but they do it, don't they? But they're very individualistic and that. So it's for all types here. Then you've got some that stand out because they're celebrities and you recognise them. And it's very often, isn't it, that the camera comes in on them and you see how they're getting on, and then sometimes they're stopped along the way with a microphone in front of them and to say how they're getting on. And they're well known to the other competitors and they're well known to the crowd, and they can, you know, you can point them out. But they're running alongside everybody else. And at the end of the race, I'm pretty sure that some of those ordinary people that wouldn't stand up in a crowd, they would turn around and say, guess who I ran alongside? I ran alongside. And then they could name the different celebrities that they ran alongside. And I think, isn't that like us in the Christian race? We are running alongside the celebrities of the church in times past. They might not be running alongside at the time of us, but the race that we're running, brothers and sisters, we're running alongside the Apostle Paul. We're running alongside the Apostles Peter, James, John, Andrew, etc., etc. We're running alongside all the Christian celebrities that have come down through the centuries. We're running alongside Martin Luther. We're running alongside John Wesley. We're running alongside Hudson Taylor. And you can think of many, many other ones that might come to your mind that have died and completed their race, but there are still some alive today whose names are well known in the Christian calendar, in the Christian, well, you know what I mean. That we're running alongside them, and they're celebrities, and they're raised up because maybe they've written a book or they've done something wonderful, etc. And we think we can never attain to maybe what they are. Brothers and sisters, we're running alongside those Christians. We're running the same race, but we're all individuals. And then you get some that run in pairs or groups. You see them all with the same slogan across their t-shirts or whatever, or they're running together. And when they come to the end, they're usually holding hands and congratulating one another and rejoicing together because they've done it together, because they're determined to do it together and they're determined to finish it together. You know, we're determined to do that. We're holding hands and we're determined to finish this race that the Lord has set before us together. And then you've got the young and the old. Sometimes you see a young person with an older person. The older person could be being encouraged on and leaning on the younger one when they get to the end of the race, or the other way around. The younger one can be encouraging the older one. And it's being encouraged to finish that last leg of the race, isn't it, that is so hard. And in the cycle race, you know, I know that they're the different ones that were running, cycling, and getting there at different times. But Mary, she was the oldest one. So she drew up the rear. She came behind. And bless you, Lisa, because you stayed with Mary and you helped her and encouraged her on those last laps. And that was a real blessing to me when I heard that. And the two of you, I don't know which one of you got over the line first at the end, but that's what I'm saying, there's encouragement for young and old, isn't there? I know that Kim, you were in the middle somewhere and you made it and you were there with perseverance, and I just congratulate Kim as well for doing it. And then there was the fitter ones and the younger ones. There was Julie and there was Nikki. And Maria, she's not here tonight because her father's not well, that's why. And so it's all ages just encouraging one another. I know there was a donut and a drink station every so often, wasn't there, to be encouraged. But it's everybody, isn't it? We're all in this together. And when I was watching the particular one, there was an 84-year-old woman that ran the marathon. There's been a man over 100. An Indian man, I believe, that's run the London Marathon. Right, say no more about that. We shall go on. Otherwise, shall we get challenged? But there was also a grandmother who'd run it for the sixth time. You can imagine I just felt a little bit challenged, etc. But then, there were some that were running it just for personal satisfaction. They wanted to run the marathon to prove that they could do it, and it was a challenge to them, and they were doing it for their own achievement. But the majority of people, I would say, actually run for a charity, don't they? They run for a reason. They run to raise money to help cancer research or some other charity. And it's running for the benefit of others. And it's running for a charity that is near to their heart. And you know, brothers and sisters, we're not just running for ourselves. We're running for a charity. That's the wrong word, I suppose, to use. But we're running for the Lord, aren't we? We're running for someone who is very, very dear to our heart. It's not that we might end the race and feel good about it. It's actually that he might receive the glory. And we're running for him so that at the end of it, he might cheer when we run the race. But the interesting thing about this, or not the interesting thing, but the thing that struck me most was the fact that they just kept coming and coming and coming. And when you're watching 30,000 plus people, it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? As they pass over the finishing line, everyone coming in a different way, a different manner. There was a never-ending group, people coming and participants in the race. And I thought about that, you know, down through the centuries, from the early church, there has been a never-ending race, a never-ending group of people running that race, and they will always keep on coming. We're in our part of the race, and when we've gone, there will still be people coming and coming and coming until they finish the race. And the one thing about it all, the common denominator of all the ones that I saw when I watched that, and have done so since, they all finished the race. They all finished the race. And you know, during the race, when they're going round, and I was talking to Mary about this as well in the cycle, she was just saying about some of the places they passed, some of the landmarks that they passed in London, the different things that probably would never ever see, unless you get a bus that goes round, or you live there or drive around. And there were famous landmarks, famous places that they passed, knowing that all those that had gone on before them had passed those same places, because that was the race. There was no shortcut, there was no going over one bridge and all going over another bridge. They all had passed the landmarks, and they could take pictures if they had time, or if they had the energy to do so. And we know that everybody that's gone on before us, they've all passed the same landmarks, spiritually speaking, in the race. And because the Lord has set the race out for every one of us. And every landmark that they passed told them that they were one landmark nearer to the end of the race. One landmark nearer to the goal, to the satisfaction and the victory that was going to be theirs. And I was thinking about this as well, and before I come to the end, but I don't. Were you given a map of the race? Before you went, you were given a map of where you were supposed to go. Yeah, right. And I don't know whether they do that for the marathon as well, the running race, but there's a map, there's a route that shows the way that the runners must go. They can't make up their own map. They're given a map to show the route that they've got to go and their ultimate goal and achievement. There's only one goal, and there's an official end, isn't there? Talking to Kim this morning, I believe that at the end of the race, she got to the end and she thought, I've made it, I've done it, etc. And they said, and the other girl said, no, Kim, the end of it, you've got to go over there, you've got to pass the line over there. She was so rejoicing that she'd done it, but she hadn't got to the official end. So she had to get on her bike or walk over, and she had to go to the official end. And we said, well, I said, do they register if you've completed or not? They didn't know that. But I'm sure that heaven registers the fact that we've completed the end. You can't not stop somewhere else. There's an official ending of it. But when you look at a map, just on plain piece of paper or on an iPad or whatever, not 3D, not four-dimensional, whatever else the dimensions they do, you can see all the twists and the turns, can't you? You can see the straight parts. You think, oh, that's nice. That's a nice, long, straight part. You can see the bends, but it doesn't show the inclines. It doesn't show you that straight road that you think is, oh, that's going to be an easy bit. Actually, it's going up like that. I don't think it did go quite as steep as that, but I know there were some hills on the cycle ride. And it doesn't show the difficult parts, does it? And it doesn't show the cobbled roads. And it doesn't show the uneven roads. And it doesn't show the potholes in the dark that you've got to cycle round if you're a cyclist or a runner. It doesn't show all of those things. But it does show the markers on the way. And I mentioned earlier that sometimes there's a camera there that when a celebrity comes past or even somebody else, they put the microphone in and say, how are you getting on? And they have all of these things every so many kilometres along and usually, you know, from the end. Now, in a marathon, and I know in the cycle race, not everybody starts out at the same time, do they? You just can't possibly get that in that. But in the marathon, I believe that the ones that are doing it for seriousness, if I can put it that way, the ones that are wanting to break the records, they have those serious runners. They start first, and then they time them, etc. And they finish first, and they have good, respectable times. And they're usually members of athletic clubs, and they're professional runners, or etc., etc. But they're experienced, and they train with others of like mind, don't they? And so they can do it. But most of the people in the mass are just ordinary people that are doing it. They're not running to win against others. They're actually running to win against themselves. As David said, that they can start off with the line and they digitally do it, and you can mark on your wrist or whatever how you're doing and how you're getting on and the time, etc. But as I say, many others are running for the sake of others. But I just want to sort of ask these sort of questions. How far am I along the route that's been mapped out for me? How far are we as a fellowship along the route that's been marked out for us? And it's not a matter of our age, is it? It's not a matter of how long we've been saved. It's not a matter of how long we've known about the race. It's a matter of being in the race and just doing the things that we know to be done. And the most important thing is being in the race and on the course. No matter where that course takes us, whether it's up a very steep hill at times, whether it's on twisty routes, whether it's on cobbled routes that hurt us and are a little bit painful. But there are markers along the route. And we have to ask ourselves, and I have to challenge my own self, how far have I come? Do I know where I am? Or am I guessing where I am? Am I guessing by my feelings and my emotions and my tiredness and my fatigue? Or am I knowing spiritually how far along the road I'm coming? I suppose because there's markers on a marathon, it's an encouragement. In one way it can be an encouragement because you know how far you've come. But in another way, it can be a discouragement because you know how far you've got to go. And it's always nice, I've never done it, but I would always think that once you've reached the halfway mark, it's always good to know that's behind you, knowing that you've got another halfway to go. But the nearer you get to the end, even though you're feeling tired and fatigued, you get that spurt at the end to know, I can do it. I can get there. And that second wind comes and you carry on and you get to the end of the race. There's always a time, I believe, in every race where even the most disciplined runners or cyclists would feel like giving up. But once they know that they're on the route and they're getting near the end, then that second wind comes in, and that's why they come in with an excitement, etc., at the end. So as a church, as I say, do we know how far we've come? Do we sometimes feel, and I felt like this, and I know some of you do, do you sometimes feel like the life and energy is ebbing away from you spiritually? We all do, don't we, from time to time. Do you ever feel like giving up your Christian walk? Do you ever feel like giving up the church? We all do. I've done it. I felt like it. But you know, sometimes, do you ever feel you want someone in the crowd to shout out your name and say, go on, you can do it, you can do it. And when you hear that, something happens in your spirit, a new vigor comes in, a new determination comes in, and you know that you can do it because somebody has shouted out your name and somebody has encouraged you. And you know, brothers and sisters, we all need encouragement. We all need our names to be shouted out by somebody in the crowd. You need your name to be shouted out, not necessarily from me, but from another brother and sister. I need my name to be shouted out. Ken needs his name to be shouted out. Everybody else that ministers in one way or another, or does anything, John and Jan, not here today, they need their names to be shouted out. Encouragement in the race. And those of us who are just, you may not feel that you're doing anything up front or anything, but you need your name to be shouted out. So brothers and sisters, can I just encourage us to let the Holy Spirit tell us whose name we can shout out, and to bless them and encourage them by something we do, something we say, giving them a hug, something to let them know that it's the race is there, and it's amazing what it can do. And just to say the best is yet to come and the end is high, is ahead. The route has to be accurate as well, and the distance had to be accurate. And I think another thing that they found out on the cycle race, it was supposed to be 100 kilometres, but I believe they made it 104 or 106. So they had a little bit more to do than they actually should have done. But in most marathons, the running ones, I believe that they've got to have it accurate, because how are they going to judge whether the winner this year has raced better and faster than the one last year? Because if there's a difference of even a foot or two, it's going to alter the time, isn't it? And so the race has got to be, so it cannot be easier or harder for one person than another. And I'm talking spiritually here. David mentioned this morning about the burdens that we all carry. You know, that's true. And we wouldn't want sometimes to be in another person's shoes. But you know, the Lord loves every one of us as a child. So whatever he puts each one of us through, that's for us. And that's equally, can sometimes be equally as hard and difficult as somebody that looks as if it's harder and more difficult in another area. But the Lord is going to deal with us fairly. Otherwise, the judge of all the earth isn't doing right, is he? And so that verse in Hebrews, it says, let us run with endurance or perseverance the race that God has set or marked out for us. And just bringing it to a conclusion. When they muted this last year at the Studland, they talked about doing the cycle race. And I must admit, my reaction was, oh, I'd love to do that. Because I used to do a lot of cycling, you know, when I was younger. And I enjoy cycling. I don't do it now because I don't have a bike. And also, there's lots of other sort of reasons. But I thought, oh, I would love to do it. And I think I was talking to you, Kim, about it, because you wondered about doing it. And I encouraged you to do it, but didn't do it myself. And Mary, and I'm thrilled to bits that all of you have actually done it. And I thought, oh, I'd love to feel fit again. I'd love to feel able to do it and to say, and I thought of those, you know, that have done marathons, and as I say, envied different ones that have done it, and to be part of the finishing line. And I thought about that for a few days, that reaction, but it didn't last. I came to my senses. I thought, Nikki, there is no way that you are going to have the time, etc., etc. I would have to give up some other things that I wouldn't be able to give up in that sense to do it. But it was there for a season, and it didn't last. But because I knew it would take months of training and preparation. But you know, the spiritual life is a little bit different to that, isn't it? There was a time when all of us, and I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm not talking about running a Christian general race. I'm talking about what God has put in our hearts. We sang, there must be more than this. We know that there's got to be more Christian life to what we are experiencing. We want more of God. We want to love the Lord more. We want to walk in holiness. There is so much more we want to run in the race. And we determined to do it. And the fact that we're still here is the fact it wasn't a flash in the pan. It wasn't something that was sounded nice, sounded good, sounded spiritual, sounded exciting. Because we've since found out that it hasn't been quite as exciting and everything else that we thought it might be. There have been hills and valleys, etc., in the running of it. But all I can say is, it can be done. It is being done. It will be done. And it's going to be done by all of us together. Amen.
Amen.
I have fought the good fight, the Apostle Paul said. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen.